You would please turn with me in your Bibles to Psalm 139. Psalm 139. We're going to be, if you're using the Bibles in front of you, you'll find that on page 444. Psalm 139, a wonderful psalm in passage of Scripture. And we read these words of what God's Word says. And it says this: O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even where your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light became night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night shall shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. For you created my innermost beings, you knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, and I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days adorned for me. Ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. If only you would slay the wicked, O God. Away from me, you bloodthirsty men. They speak of you with evil intent. Your adversary misuses your name. Do I hate those who hate you, O Lord, and abhor those who rise up against you? I have nothing but hatred for them. I count them my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting. An awesome passage of Scripture, and look forward to hearing what God has to say to us today.
I'm excited about the future of guitar playing in the family. I was quite worried about that for a lot of years. It seemed as though I was the only one that had any interest, but now there's one that has an interest, and I'm excited about that. God bless you, Taylor. Thank you. If you have your Bibles with you, I'm going to ask you to please open up once again to the 139th Psalm. Psalm 139. This particular psalm is a blessing to my life. And, there is so much honesty here, but so much that is revealing to us. And I love the way that this particular psalm begins, because the two words, O Lord, that are translated O Lord, is Yahweh. And it means friend. And so the psalmist is looking at his relationship with the Lord as being friend to friend. And as he goes through this particular psalm, he realizes and he points out the fact that as a friend, there is a unique relationship between him and the Lord. And you know what, folks? That's the way that the Lord thinks of you and I as well. Do you know that the Lord didn't love David any more than he loves you? And he didn't love David any less than he loves you. The love of God is so amazing that he has thoughts about you. Have you ever stopped to consider that? The Lord thinks about you. We have some friends in life that, you know, that we've known for years and years and years. There's a particular couple that Joyce and I meet with every once in a while, Tom and Deb Ely. They're not believers, but we're hopeful. We're always hopeful. But Tom and Deb have just always been very, very special people to us. And through the years and through the miles, we still have connections. And it's interesting because whenever we get together, we just pick up where we've left off and we just kind of go on. And it's like there's been no time nor distance. You know, it's just one of those types of friendships and relationships. And you have those as well. I'm sure that you do in your life. And you know what? Our relationship to God is very much like that. He isn't a God who is way off there, who is unconcerned about us, but He thinks about us. His thoughts go to our potential. His thoughts go to our giftedness. His thoughts go to our love and to all that we are. You know, when you stop to consider the fact that God cares enough about you that He numbers the hairs on your head. With some, that's a full-time job. With some of us, I think He wanted to make it easier. But at any time, God can tell the number of hairs on your head. He thinks of you. And so God and you have a unique relationship. And that's what the psalmist is kind of amazed by. And as we look at this, there is an outline in your bulletins, but as we look at this, we want to pull out of this particular psalm six things today. We want to pull out the fact that God knows you. Secondly, that God is with you. Third, that God made you. Fourth, that God is interested in you. Fifth, God understands you. And six, God searches you. And so let's look at these particular areas. First of all, God knows you. Look at the first six verses. As the psalmist writes this, which is written by David, he says this. He says, O Lord, or Yahweh, one friend to another as we converse, O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou dost know when I sit down, when I rise up. Thou dost understand my thought from afar. Thou dost scrutinize my path and my lying down, and art intimately acquainted with all my ways. Even before there was a word on my tongue, behold, O Lord, Thou dost know it all. Thou hast enclosed me behind and before, and laid Thy hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is too high. I cannot attain to it. I cannot fully grasp this. But you'll notice the intimacy of David with God as friend to friend. And he comes right out and he says, look, you know my thoughts. You know absolutely everything. Before my mouth even utters a word, you know what I'm going to say. We are intimately connected. We are intimately related. Lord, there's nothing. You know when I sit down. You know when I stand up. You know absolutely everything that there is to know about me. Greg, God knew what was going to happen in that automobile before Frank and Shirley got in it. And he knew that he would need to intervene. And he did that. He knew that accident was going to happen before it ever happened. That's a part of the glorious, grand foreknowledge of God. And he made sure that he was at the scene. And that he was not only bringing comfort, but he was bringing protection as well. And you know, folks, we can look at all of the events in our lives and we can realize that God is not taken unaware by any of them. He knows us personally. We don't like to think about death. We really don't. But you know what? God loves us so much that he knows the hour and the day and the minute of when we will pass from this life into his presence. It's not going to catch him off guard. It may catch us off guard, but not him. But he loves you so much that he takes that kind of interest in you. And so he knows everything that there is. And you know what? When we begin to think about that, especially in that third verse where he says, "You scrutinize my path and my lying down and are intimately acquainted with all my ways." When we realize the depth of knowledge that God has of us, we should be a little more cautious as to our attitudes, as to what we allow to possess us. Because God is thoroughly aware and he knows. God knows you. Secondly, I want you to notice that God is with you. Look at verses 7 through 12. David continues here and he says, "Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the dawn, if I dwell in the remotest part of the sea, even there thy hand will lead me, and thy right hand will lay hold of me. If I say, surely the darkness will overwhelm me, and the light around me will be night, even the darkness is not dark to thee, and the night is as bright as the day. Darkness and light are alike to thee." God is with you. Wherever you go, whatever you do, God is there. You know, if we would stop to really contemplate that, is there any place that we would no longer frequent? We need to consider that. Since God goes with us everywhere that we go, shouldn't we only consider those places that would not embarrass him? That would not bring shame to his name. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? Lord, it doesn't matter where I go. You are there. You are with me. My deeds are as open to you as the daylight in comparison to the night. Even those things that I do in the dark that I think no one knows about, Lord, you know. You know. Everything is like light to you. God is with you, no matter what you face. where you go, God is with you. Number three, I want you to notice that God made you. Look at verses 13 through 16. For thou didst form my inward parts. Thou didst weave me in my mother's womb. I'm going to tell you something, folks. That verse alone should make a person pro-life. That verse alone should be enough to do it. Now, I realize that's a little political. But I'll tell you what, abortion is not a political issue, it's a moral issue. And that one verse alone, David comes out and he says it as it is, for you did form me. You formed my inward parts. You wove me in my mother's womb. From the moment of conception, Father, you were involved. You were involved. I will give thanks to thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are thy works, and my soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from thee when I was made in secret, and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth. Thine eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in thy book they were all written, the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not one of them. Wow. Jeremiah says this, for I know the plans that I have for thee, plans to help thee and not to harm me. Plans to prosper thee. You know, every unborn, aborted child is a disruption of God's plan. It really is. We need to understand how intimately acquainted with us God is. From the moment we were formed in our mother's womb to the moment when we're laid to rest beneath the sod, God's there. Isn't that incredible? Isn't that amazing that God dwells with us to that point? He actively involves Himself in our formation. I remember one time listening to a woman who was complaining because her child was not formed perfectly. The child had some deformed physical and mental characteristics. And this mom was just complaining, well, where was God when this was going on? And you know, I believe in my heart of hearts that there are only certain people that God can trust with His special people. And when a mom begins to look at things in that light, she will realize what a great gift God has given her, even in that less than perfect child. Over and over, I hear of parents now who are getting sonograms and reports and that kind of thing, and they say, well, you know what? Your child's not going to be perfect. You're better off to abort them. how tragic that is. Because if they're not perfect, we don't want them. But you know what? God wants them. He allows them to be a unique part of His kingdom and places within them a unique blessing that we'll never know and we'll never fully comprehend. God is involved in this whole making process of developing us. And it's important that we realize that. Number four, I want you to notice that God is interested in you. Look at verses 17 and 18. And if this doesn't bless you, I don't know what will. How precious also are thy thoughts to me, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would outnumber the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. How precious are thy thoughts to me. God is interested. He is interested in everything that touches your life. He cares about your victories. He cares about your disappointments. He cares about your failures. He cares about your opportunities. He cares about the difficulties in life that you are going to face, and He promises to not leave you nor forsake you in those times, but to instead to invest Himself in a deeper capacity in your life at those moments that you most desperately need it. He is interested in everything that touches your life. He's interested in fulfilling His will in you. He has an amazing plan for you. For everyone in this room today, God has a plan. And in that plan, He wants to work hand in hand with you because He thinks of that. And His thoughts go with you. And He will give you guidance and direction. And He will place within you glorious thoughts of who He is, if you will allow Him. He is interested. Number five, I want you to notice that God understands you. Verses 19 through 22. He says, "Oh, that thou wouldest slay the wicked, O God, depart from me, therefore, men of bloodshed. For they speak against thee wickedly, and thine enemies take thy name in vain. Do I not hate those who hate thee, O Lord? And do I not loathe those who rise up against thee? I hate them with the utmost hatred. They have become my enemies." God understands that. You know, when we look at the Osama bin Ladens of the world, they are repulsive people who despise God. They really are. When you look at the atheistic individuals who will stand against all that is moral and of faith, they are the enemies of God. And they say reprehensible things about Him. David is being totally honest here. And I love the transparency. Because he comes out and he says exactly what's lying on the inside. He's totally honest with God. "Father, those that hate you, I hate. Those who despise you, I despise. Now, that doesn't mean that David isn't concerned for their conversion. Understand that. Because that's a part of what God does in us, is He also gives us a passion for the lost. But He does not want evil to influence us. And when that which is against God's will, God's way, against God Himself is placed in front of us, we have to take a stand. And that stand often becomes brutal. O Lord, that Thou wouldst slay the wicked. Depart from me, therefore, men of bloodshed. For they speak against Thee wickedly, and Thine enemies take Thy name in vain. Do I not hate those who hate Thee, O Lord? Do I not loathe those who rise up against You? I hate them with the utmost hatred. They have become my enemies. God understands. He understands love and the depth of love. Now notice number 6, as the psalmist ties this all up, as David ties it all up, he brings out this God searches you concept. And so as David is just opening his heart before God, he says this in verses 23 and 24, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts, and see if there be any hurtful way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way." God, search me. Make certain that there isn't anything in me that is going to separate my life from You. Make certain that there's nothing in me that is repulsive to You. Make certain everything that is within me is honorable before You and honors Your name. Make certain, Father, that we are friends. And that nothing is there to divide us. Father, teach me to love the things that You love, and to hate the things that You hate. Teach me to be able to love the sinner in the midst of the repulsion of the sin. Teach me to despise the devil and all of his traps. Teach me to be wise that I'll not walk in the way with the unrighteous, but that I will walk with You and I will be open to You. Father, let us be friends with the type of friendship we have had through the years. Hold me. Keep me. Purify me. Purge me. Cleanse me of any wicked that might hinder me from being who You want me to be. David was a man who was so close to God, he could be brutally honest. You want to know something? That's the kind of relationship God wants with us. He wants us so open with Him and so honest with Him that our relationship grows and strengthens. Day by day, hour by hour, week by week, that we draw closer and closer to Him with all integrity. Are you afraid to be friends with God? Are you afraid to be that close with Him that you can be completely honest? That you can be completely honest in your prayer life? That you can be completely honest in every aspect? You can be completely honest with your dealings with other people? You can be completely honest with the integrity of God? Are you that close to Him? You see, He knows your thoughts. He knows the hidden, secret compartments of your life that you think no one sees, but those things are like light to Him. So you might just as well be open. You might just as well be honest with Him. You might just as well submit to His will. Are you willing to let God search you the way David did? Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, know my anxious thoughts. See if there be any hurtful way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way. Let's stand. This time I'm going to ask you if you would please take your hymnal and open up to number 430. I must tell Jesus. If you're here today and you'd have to say, you know, there have been things that I've held inside that I've thought no one's aware of. Well, you know what? God's aware. And those things will kind of eat you alive. Why don't you give it to Him? Ask Him to search you, to cleanse you, to wash you from anything that's a hindrance in your walk with Him. Be honest with God. He knows it all anyhow. He knows the good. He knows the bad. So today, if God is speaking to you about a hidden area of your life that you must take care of, we invite you to come as we sing, I Must Tell Jesus. I must tell Jesus. I must tell Jesus. Let Him search you. Give it all over to Him. You can't bear it alone. Let's sing number 430, and if God is speaking to you, step out and come.